Are we live? Okay.
Can you...
Shalom, everyone. I'm Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome you to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. We're glad you're with us today. We have a special guest. My pastor and Don's pastor will be speaking, and we'll introduce them later, the Bowers. And we'll introduce them to you. We're glad you're with us today if you're watching online, and we're glad you're with us if you're here in the house. And for those who are here, we welcome you, and those who aren't here yet, we welcome you too. You just don't know it. All right. Let's worship the Lord.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zel Yisrael, Yom Zel Yisrael, Yom Zel Yisrael, Lord of the Simcha, Yom Zel Yisrael, Lord of the Simcha,
Lord of the Simcha, Shabbat Melucha,
Yom Zel Yisrael, Lord of the Simcha, Shabbat Melucha, Shabbat Melucha. Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy,
filled with light and joy,
the Sabbath of Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, a Sabbath of his rest, a Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Let's just bless the Messiah today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides.
I shall prostrate myself and bow,
bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. B'nei, oh B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Oti le'olam. V'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, shemayim v'haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. U'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael le'et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout third generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the Jewish people, and for the Messianic Jewish community?
Okay. Father, we thank you for this day that you've set aside for us on Shabbat to come in to worship and praise you, Lord. We pray today for the land of Israel, Lord, for the Jewish people that live there and for the other people that live there, Lord, that the rockets will cease being launched. There's been more social outcry about the Iranian general that was killed than the destruction continuously of the rockets falling in Israel. No one's really talking about that today, Lord, but you've got them in your hand, Lord, and we just pray today that the day will come when they will see Yeshua as their Messiah, Lord, that he's already come, but he's coming again, Lord, and we just pray that you'll take the shackles, the scales off their eyes, Lord, and the scales off of the world, Lord, that they will see that you are God and there is no other. You are the God of Israel, and you're the only God that exists that you can touch and know that he touches you back, Heavenly Father. We pray for the Messianic community today, Lord. We pray for the rabbis, the song leaders, the dance leaders, Lord, that today the messages that will go forth today, that you will richly bless them financially today, because many struggle, and we just pray that you will cover them with finances, and you will bless them today and to have a wonderful worship service today, Lord. And we pray today for our service that you will bless us. Bless Brother Bowers as he comes and brings your word, Lord. Bless our worship today, Lord. May it be pleasing unto you today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Serve the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Avinu,
Avinu,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hand,
of your hand.
You loved us so,
you loved us so,
you sent your son,
you sent your son,
to take our sin.
ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה, אשר אנכי מצבך היום על לבביך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשחפך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorach, Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Yolam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Yolam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, Ve'na'atan Lanu Et Torto, Baruch Atah Adonai, Noten Ha'Torah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, today's Torah portion is Vayira, and it is God speaking. And he says, and I appeared. If you read the text today, you'll find out that God is telling Moses about some things that's previously happened. And he said, you know, I appeared to Abraham, I appeared to Isaac, and I appeared to Jacob, but I didn't tell them my name. And he's telling him about what is going to happen. And this text, of course, is from Exodus chapter 6 through chapter 9. You see, God is the master of all that he has created. A lot of us forget that God created us, and he is the master of us. So it's difficult for a lot of people to accept that. They think they can change who they are and what they are, but God is still the master. And God is going to welcome Pharaoh into his world, as we saw if you read this Torah portion today. He's heard the moans and the cries of the Israelites as they're put under very harsh bondage to work. A lot of the bondage, they've had to lose their children. Their sons were thrown into the Nile River. But God is telling Moses today, here's what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to free you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people, and I will bring you into the land that I promised your ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sort of sounds like Passover just a little bit, doesn't it? I believe it is. We're leading up to that. It's coming. But, you know, God moved in signs and wonders. But, you know, it was something interesting. Pharaoh is a lot like the world today. He did not listen because he thought he was a god, because he asked Moses, I've never heard of your God. Who is he? Everyone knows who I am. And he would go and bathe in that Nile River because they considered the Nile also a god. So he would every morning go down and bathe. But God changed something about that river, because God wanted Egypt and the world to know that he did exist and he was real. You see, Pharaoh wanted to deny that there was a God. He didn't see the existence of God. He didn't see any providence of God in everyday life. And he didn't think that the God of Israel could change anything unless he wanted it to be changed. You see, there's none like the God of Israel. He is the God of all. So God begins to touch the land of Egypt with plagues. Did you ever wonder why God used plagues? Why didn't he just go down and take them out by swift of his hand, move his hand and take them out? But he used plagues to afflict them, because he wanted the world and Pharaoh to know that he was God. And so today we see, as God begins to move with the plagues, Egypt becomes very insecure. He attacked them. He came against them exactly where their strengths were at. They became very insecure. He took their pride, their possessions, their superiority was all challenged by God. And God made Egypt suffer physically, just like the Jewish nation had done. And if you looked at the plagues today, there were seven of them mentioned in this Torah portion. In their group, the first three plagues tell us about how insecure really the land of Egypt was. We see the blood. God turned the Nile River into blood. And nothing happened in the land of Goshen. If we see with the plagues, the Jewish people were not touched by God's hand at all. And when so Pharaoh could not go into the Nile at the rising of the sun and take his bath because it was all blood. Not a very pleasant thing to take a bath in, but he couldn't go. So he couldn't do it. And then God sent the frogs, and they were in everything. They were in the water. If you drew a pitcher of water and set it down, there was frogs in it before you could set it down. They were in the houses. They were in everything that existed, but not in the land of Goshen. And he sent lice, and they infested everything, man and beast. And they carried diseases and all kinds of things. But God finally removed them. Their superiority was challenged with the wild animals in the swarm that attacked the people and the livestock. They had diseases, epidemics. Then Moses took ashes and soot, and he threw them into the air from the furnace. And as he tossed them into the air, boils came upon the people. And even the magicians could not stand in front of Pharaoh because of the boils. They were totally covered their body. And it covered men and animals. They, you know, God did not pass over the animals. And then we saw this week, I saw the news, and there he sent fire and hail. They came together. Usually fire will melt hail, but this didn't happen. Sort of happened in Australia this week. They had the wildfires, and then it began to hail right in the middle of the wildfires. So in the wild, this hail and fire killed things that were living. But what type of magic did Pharaoh think his advisors could do? They were unable to do anything. You see, their power was in the black magic. But you see, but what God was letting them, that's why he did the plagues. God was letting the world know that he's the divine creator of heaven and of earth. And in Daniel, we see God, it says God has declared a verdict so that we know he is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and over heaven. He uses the lowest of people to accomplish his jobs, what he wants done. Moses was a shepherd. He was slow of speech. He did not want to go in front of Pharaoh. But God sent him anyway, and he was able to perform through the power of God. But what's so interesting, and I was thinking about this today, and I wrote it down this morning. You see, seeing the miracles that Egypt saw, and also the Israelites, even as they continued out of Egypt, doesn't guarantee that you're going to follow God. If you see a miracle, it doesn't mean you're going to. And I can say that in my life. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to follow God. Our lives are based on our choices. And may our choices be to choose God every day that we're awake. And you've heard the old cliche, practice makes perfect, and it will. If you follow God, practice will make you perfect. But what is our greatest need today? I think, just in closing, our greatest need is forgiveness. And God has provided us a Savior. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
But let's all honor God's word by pointing towards the ark where his word is kept. And in, I believe, you know, in heaven there's an ark with his word in it. And his word is holy, and his word is forever. And we honor his word, and we honor what he says to us, and we honor it with our lives.
Zod HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al-Pi Adonai B'Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Hallelujah. His word is a tree of life to those who will uphold it and bring it into their lives. It's I am he, the Lord Zikima, the
Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
And you can sit down too. What do you call Exodus in Mexico? Mexodus. Wendell, come on, you like that. He loved it.
Praise the Lord. They say there's dad jokes and then there's rabbi's jokes. I think rabbi's jokes are as much for rabbis as they are for everybody else. But we love him. Amen. We love rabbi's jokes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, well, I want to welcome everyone. Hey, keep it down over there. In the peanut gallery, come on. I'm just kidding. I want to welcome everyone. I think we're family here in the house. I know, as Rabbi mentioned, we've got Pastors Ed and Kathy Bowers with us. And they welcomed me and said, "World traveler, good to see you." And I think I'm actually not as much of a world traveler as they are. I mean, they've been to some pretty exciting places. So I think that's neat that they've been able to do that over all the years. So we're looking forward to hearing word from Pastor Ed today and his lovely wife, who they've just been a part of us and a part of my life for, we're not going to say how many years, but it's a long time since I was knee high to a grasshopper.
Was it the 1980s?
Yes. Leave it to Rabbi to count it up. Okay. Thank you for joining us. If you are online, it's good to have you. Send us an email or drop us a line on our phone that you've been watching. And
if you send the right number email, and you win the prize.
Well, the email is, I believe, on the website, so that should help you out. We did have a newsletter. Rabbi's referring to the fact that we've got about 3 or 4 emails right now that we're using. So, but the one that's on the website with the contact information is the right one. So if you need to email us, use that one. And thank you very much for joining us. And we'd like to hear from you and hear your comments and things like that. Just get to know you. We encourage you to come out and join us. This is your local connection to Israel. So we hope that you take advantage of what God has brought to you in this area. If you're anywhere close to driving, you're welcome to come and visit and be with us. Especially during our services, the anointing is here, and God will bless you. So we encourage you to make that effort to come and visit, come and join, and as it says in the Bible, to worship with his people. And that can be taken for the whole body of Messiah, but also is specific. It says, come and worship with Israel. So here we are. Come and worship with us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we don't have anything specific coming up, but as Anthony mentioned, please keep in mind
that in the Messianic congregation there is never a lack for another feast to prepare for, another event to look forward to. Amen? So how many of you know, what is the next thing on God's event calendar? Purim. Everybody say Purim. Purim is a feast of Esther. It's about the story of Esther, celebrating as the story of Esther. And I believe that's in your bulletins. It begins March 9th. And then Passover, as some of you mentioned, is... Yeah, so Passover begins in April, and we're already beginning to get some requests for a rabbi to come and teach on Passover. And any of you out there online, if you would like for a rabbi to come, just call us, and we can schedule a time for him to come and teach the Passover to your congregation. We do have that available to you for him to come. So we'll be letting you know more about the details on those feasts coming up, what our celebrations will be, and the specifics. And that's really all I have as far as announcements. I do want to say that we do have a newsletter. It's being printed right now. And for those of you in the congregation, Tuesday, all day Tuesday, anytime Tuesday, if you want to come, or Monday, actually, we can arrange. Vicki won't be in the office Monday, but if you can come and help on Monday, we can arrange for you to do that. So Monday or Tuesday, we are doing our mail out for the newsletter. It's going to be an awesome message on prophecy, prophets and prophecy in our generation in this day. So look forward to that coming to you in the mail, and it'll also be online. Anybody who, as I said before, who is within driving distance, you are more than welcome to come and help out. It's a great way to get to know our people and to really interact. I know that when we have our newsletter parties, and we call it a party because it really turns out to be a party, doesn't it, Aja? Aja is one of our cornerstone newsletter workers. Give it up for Aja. Woo! And if she is able, she comes. And don't we have a great food and great fellowship? And as always, okay. All right, we'll try to arrange. I'll see what we can do about Monday for you, okay? But as I said, anybody driving distance in the area, if you come just anytime, especially Tuesday is the main party. If you want to come out Tuesday to the synagogue, it's 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. It's on the website. Just show up. You don't even have to say anything or call.
And can I just add to that? Folks, we need volunteers. We don't have a lot of things to do, but putting the newsletter together, one way you can help Israel and help get the message out of this ministry, if this ministry is a blessing to you, is to help with the newsletter. We do it every month and a half or so. We have, and I'm going to start doing a prophecy newsletter. And for those who are interested in prophecy, and so we need people to come and print and fold and stuff and seal and put labels on, and we always have a good time, as Dawn and Aja were telling you. We have a lot of fun doing it. We need volunteers. So if you're interested, if you live in the area and you'd like to serve Israel, this is the way you can do it. You can serve the Jewish people. You can serve God, and it's a small way, but you can actually tangibly do something, and please let us know. Contact us.
Amen.
Wendell.
If there's other things to volunteer for too, so if you have any talents,
any other things and you'd like to participate, just let us know. Volunteers are welcome. So that's all I have, Rabbi. Is there anything else that we need to discuss? I think there's Oneg.
Big Oneg today.
So,
yes, I believe Miss Caroline, if she arrives, has made a roast. Yes, she told me last night she had made a roast. So I don't know what else is going on for Oneg, but I know there's a roast. So, you know, for folks who don't know what Oneg is, that's Jewish for fellowship and lunch. And so we always, almost always have lunch after service here. And you can come as long as we usually have plenty of food. We don't expect you to bring anything. First couple of times you come, you don't have to bring anything. If you want to become part of it on a regular basis, then
third
time we expect you to cook the whole thing. But yeah, but no, seriously, we welcome you. We give you a spiritual meal here and often a physical meal. Now, we don't go have it every week, but most weeks we do. So come and join us.
That's the perks. It's the perks.
It is one of the bennies.
All right. Over to you, Rabbi.
Okay. All right. Well, it's, you know, I was, it's been a rough couple of weeks personally, different reasons, which I won't go into. But I just want to say that I've been going through some storms in my life. And his ministry has been under attack, and we've been going through some storms in the ministry. But I believe God gave me a word. You know, yesterday it was rainy and cold, and I went to have my car serviced in Kingsport. It was been there for a week in Kingsport, and my friend make it for two, please. And my friend Fred took me to get my car. To pick up my car, but it wasn't ready, so they gave me a loaner car, and so I drove back to Bristol all the way from Kingsport. I drove back to Bristol, and then I drove back to Kingsport, which is quite a drive. It's about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and to pick up my car in the afternoon. It was an all day thing, and yesterday was kind of a discouraging day for me. I won't go into it, but. As I was picking up my car at the very end, when I got my car, the sun came out, and this rainbow, I mean, this mother of all rainbows just burst out in front of me, and the song came on the radio, here, good day sunshine, doo-doo-doo, good day sunshine. I just thought it was the funniest thing, but it was, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, you know, I'm a covenant-keeping God. I'm faithful to you. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to take you through it. You know, I'm going to take you through the storm, and the storm will pass. And storm will pass, whatever you're going through. Amen? And just hang on. Hang in there. Hang on. Don't quit. Stay the course. Amen? That's what I've done for 25 years in the Lord, is I've just stayed the course. It's not always been, we've had some rough times, right, pastors? Traveling around the world, Don and I were traveling, we had rough times, and we've had rough times all through the years, but we've just stayed the course, and here we are. And that's 99% of it. I always say 99% is just showing up.
Amen.
It is. 99% is just showing up, you know. God is in the house, and Shabbat is about worshiping God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about, you know, how you feel. It's not about whether you're in a good mood or whether you're tired or whether you're happy or sad. It's about coming to worship God. And if you can get out of bed and you can get here to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath, the Bible says in Luke 4, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He went, whether he felt like it or not. And then they tried to push him over a cliff. But he kept going to the synagogue. He didn't stop. In fact, in John 7, He went to he said he wasn't going to go up to the temple because he knew they were going to kill him, but he went anyway. You know, he went anyway. He just always kept going. He never stopped. So that's my word for you. But God's word for me was breakthrough's coming, Joe. The word I got from the Lord was you're going through a trial, you're going through a lot of attack, and a lot of stuff is coming at you, but breakthrough is coming. Great breakthrough, tremendous. God's going to do a new thing, and the clouds will pass away, storm will pass by, and breakthrough is coming. Amen? Amen. And that's the word I got yesterday from the Lord. I wanted to share that with you. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time, and you can claim that word I just had if it speaks to you. It's biblical that though the sorrow may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a biblical word, and we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. So if you'd like to support this ministry, if this is your congregation online and you watch from home or you're homebound, and you'd like to contribute, you can do it right online, without, you know, securely on PayPal. The only thing I ask is if you want to be receipted, that you give us your address with your name. Your name comes with when you donate online, but you have to give us your address, email, phone number, so that we can receipt you and then contact you about your tax issues, you know, your tax receipts and things like that. We don't harass people. We don't send out tons of. It's not like we're not like the MyPillow guy, you know. We're not going to send you out offers and special codes every you know 10 times a week. But please do give us your address, okay? All right. So we're going to take up our tithes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the chance to give back to you what you have given to us. It all belongs to you anyway, Lord. You give us the opportunity to keep a portion of it and give back a tenth or more to you, Lord. And so that's what you ask us. A minimum of a tenth is what he asks. And he doesn't limit us to how much we can give, but he does say the baseline is a tenth. And so that's the tithe. And we want to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord and at this time. So, Lord, bless these givers and bless the gifts 100-fold in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Savior, the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Come and let's bring our offerings.
The heart of a Jew is
Jerusalem.
Messiah is only King. And when
in the soul of a Jew
he reigns, peace to the city he brings. Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua,
Baruch Hashem, Adonai.
Baruch Hashem, Adonai. When he came forth from Bethlehem, I heard the angels sing. Baruch Hashem.
Hashem Adonai.
Bless his name, for his name is good. Yeshua HaMashiach is the name I love. Bless his name, for his name is good. Sanctified us by his blood. Ooh, now we drink of the wine of joy, filled with the spirit of Adonai. United in the love Messiah brings, now we sing to Elohim. Ooh,
come on everybody.
Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
The heart of a Jew is Jerusalem. The Messiah, his only King.
And when in the soul of a Jew he reigns, peace to the city he brings. Yeshua, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Hallelujah, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Yes.
We bless you. That's what it means. Baruch Hashem Adonai, we bless you. And it is good to praise the Lord, so let's give him praise. It is good
to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High. To proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. La la la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la. You make me glad
by your deeds, O Lord, so I sing for joy at all your hands.
Baruch Hashem. La 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 la. May I dwell in your courts, O Lord, that to flourish like the trees of Lebanon, planted in the house of Adonai, there to live forevermore.
La la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Earth rejoice, let the people be glad
race. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills will like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Reigns the Lord. Reigns the Lord. Reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. That our God reigns. That our God reigns.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, our Lord reigns, and he is good all the time, amen? Say, God is good all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
When I wake up, and the sun comes up, he's good. When I get sleepy and go to bed, the Lord is good. Oh, mi Mizra.
Mi Mizra.
Shemeshat mebo. Oh, mi Mizra.
Mi Mizra.
Shemeshat mebo. Oh, mehula. Shem Adonai. Mehula. Shem Adonai. Mi Mizra.
Mi Mizra.
Shemeshat mebo. Oh, mehula. Shem Adonai. Yeah, he's Shem Adonai. Mebora. Mebora. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you give me a little monitor voice, please? From the rising of the sun to its going down, the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. The name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Yeah, you should modernize, memora, memora. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, you should modernize, memora, memora. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Me, Mr. Hallelujah. Me, Mr.
Mimizra.
Shemeshat mebo, Mimizra.
Mimizra.
Shemeshat mebo, meula. Shem Adonai, meula. Shem Adonai, Mimizra.
Mimizra.
Shemeshat mebo, meula. Shem Adonai. Yeah, he Shem Adonai, mebora, mebora. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, he Shem Adonai, mebora. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bless him. The word commands us to bless him. When we release that blessing unto the Lord, it's like releasing endorphins. It's like releasing healing. It's in ourselves. When we bless him, when we put our focus on him, when we reach out to Him, it releases the power to do things in the natural that were not available before. So we just thank You, Lord. We bless You. We give You honor. We give You praise. And the Lord says, sons and daughters, I've known you since the womb. Hear me now, my servants, because I've raised you up from your tomb. And I will pour my spirit out upon your dry ground, for I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Messiah. I am your King. Hear now, Jacob, my servant. Hear now, O Israel. Hear now, Jacob, my servant. I've raised you from your tomb. Hear now, Jacob, my servant. Hear now, O Israel. Hear now, Jacob, my servant. Pour out my spirit upon your dry ground. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Messiah, your King.
Sing hallelujah. to the Lord. Let us adore the ever-living God and render
is loving you with all
my heart loves you through and through, through and through, through and through. Oh, we love you, Lord. We give you all today. We give you our highest praise. We love you, Lord. You are all in all. You are my life. You are my to the altar. I just believe we all need to just come to the altar and bow before the Lord and cast your cares upon Him today. I cast all my cares upon you. Lay all of my burdens your feet, and any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. I cast all my cares upon you. All of my burdens down at your feet, and any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. All my cares upon you.
people who didn't come today are missing the Lord. I always say it, you know. If this is your God's chosen place of worship for you, and you don't come, you miss God. You miss Him. Amen. When God calls you to worship, you know, in a certain place, you know, I saw a sign years ago. It said, "Attend the church of your choice." And I said, "No, exactly, Pastor. It's attend the church of His choice." Amen. He'll tell you where to go if you really pray. Problem is, people don't pray, and they don't read the Bible, and they just go where you know where they have a good children's program, or they have donuts and coffee, or we can wear blue jeans, honey, you know, we can wear blue jeans, so let's go there, you know. They don't go where God's telling them to go. They don't obey the Lord, and they don't follow the Lord, and they don't get the blessing of the Lord. Because if you're not where, you know, you got to be in the right place with God at the right time. Amen? You know, God blessed, God poured out His Spirit in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem on the thousands that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Shavuot. Amen? And you know, I would teach Shavuot, Pentecost, and I would put pressure on myself every year expecting an Acts chapter 2 experience. Because I would teach on the feast every year. And for many years, I would put pressure on myself and get really worked up, and I'd fast and pray and get all stressed out and tense and come. And sometimes we had some really awesome services, and sometimes, you know, God moved, and sometimes He didn't. But the fact is, and finally, one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Joe, how many Acts chapter 2s are there?" Seriously. How many Acts chapter 2s are there? One. How many revivals like Acts chapter 2? I mean, in history, there's just a handful in history. If you go through history, you know, Azusa Street, the Welsh Revival, different revivals in history, real revivals. I'm not talking, you know, fake ones, but, you know, maybe the Brownsville was a genuine one. That seemed to bear fruit, that lasted for quite some time and still bearing fruit today, as I happen to know. So I would say that was a genuine one. But there aren't a whole lot. They're few and far between. So the point is, just be faithful. Show up. God is always going to show up. Amen? God's always going to show up. I mean, you don't come, you miss Him. When you don't come, you miss the Lord. So I've said it 1,000 times. I keep saying it. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you're at home and you have some crackers or matzah and some fruit of the vine, some Welch's or some Manischewitz, some Carmel, what's another brand, Don? Mogan David. That's it, Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed knows it. Mogan David. You have some Mogan David, whatever you, the fruit of the vine of your choice, just no rum. Okay, so just go get some and you join us. We're going to go to the Lord's table. Okay, and I'm going to ask Diane and Maria, would you like to come serve today with Diane? Can you help Diane? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, let's bless the elements, okay? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. And it was Passover when Yeshua, it was a Passover meal in Luke 22, tells us, Yeshua said, go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. And it was at that meal when he took the third cup of the meal, called known as the cup of redemption, and he said, this cup, he said, speaking of the cup of redemption, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And then he took the bread, which is taken after the meal. We call it afikomen. It's a Greek word, afikomen, actually, in Greek. Afikomen means that which comes later. And every Passover meal, Jewish people will break the matzah. There's three pieces on every table set aside. And they'll take the middle layer. It's all wrapped in a white cloth. And they'll take the middle layer and break it in little pieces after the meal. And it's taken together with the third cup of wine. And he said, this is my, of the bread, he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we invite all believers in the Messiah. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be a member of this congregation to come to the table of the Lord. We invite everybody who's a believer to come. And if you believe that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, and that he died for your sins and mine, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, and that he rose from the dead on the third day, and conquering the power of sin and death, and that you've received forgiveness through his blood, forgiveness through his sacrifice and what he did for you by faith, you believe in him, we invite you to come. If God has revealed his Son to you and you've received forgiveness through his blood. So we you're welcome to come to the Lord's table and partake. But Paul says, do not do this, do not partake in an unworthy manner. And that means if you don't know the Lord, it's a cup of wrath. If you don't know the Lord. So only do this if you know the Lord. Now, if you don't know the Lord, but you'd like to meet the Messiah, just say, Rabbi Joe, I want to meet the Messiah. Xavier, can you say that? Rabbi Joe, I want to meet the Messiah. Amen. I want to meet the Messiah. So let's just pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with me, Xavier. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, to save me. Wash me, God. Forgive all my mistakes. Cleanse me. Give me the power and a fresh start. Right here. Right now. Today. Put my name in your book of life. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit. In Yeshua's name, amen. Anybody meet the Messiah today? Just raise your hand if you met the Messiah. Raise your hand. If you met the Messiah today, just say, Rabbi Joe, I met the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen, anybody? Praise the Lord. Xavier, did you meet him? Xavier met him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you met him at home. And if you did, just let us know, contact us, and I do have a special gift for you for people who became believers in our service. So contact me, and I'll send you a special gift that I have for you. And God loves you, and we love you. And now I'm going to invite you to come as you're ready. And I always encourage people to confess their sins before they come to the Lord's table and receive. It's a good idea to keep a short list. Amen? Pastors, you always taught that, didn't you? Keep a short list. I remember that. See, I've taught that for years. Come as you're ready. The ladies will serve you.
I dream.
L'chaim, to life in Yeshua.
L'chaim.
What you may want to do is soak it next time. It goes good in chicken soup too. Introduce our guest speaker today, because she has a special relationship with them, and so she's going to give introduction. Isn't she lovely?
Yes. Yeah.
She's our beautiful Rebbetzin. Amen. Yes, she is a very hard worker.
Amen.
Maria says she's very loving and caring. How much did she pay you to say that? $5, $10. $10. No, Maria wouldn't do that. Maria's just sweet. She's just innocent. She wouldn't charge $10. She'd only charge $5.
I'll pay her back one way or another. Praise the Lord. Well, it is an honor for me. Welcome, Facebook friends, by the way. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. Did you focus it? Was I standing in the right spot, Isaac? Okay.
So you don't have to stay here.
This is the right spot.
This is the spot.
He has to stay in the spot.
Yeah, if you want to stay on Facebook, you have to stay on the spot.
I'll try.
Welcome, Facebook friends, to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. And we've had an awesome worship service.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. God has met us. He has healed us. We've reached out to him, and he has reached back.
Amen.
Have you seen that picture, that, you know, classic picture where you see the hand of God reaching down?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not just that he's reaching down. What's the other part of the picture?
Man's reaching up.
So let's do that. Let's all reach up. Every one of us in this house. Let's reach up to him. Okay? Because that's what it takes for him to reach down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to reach up for him to reach down and touch us.
Amen.
And give us new life. Do you need new life?
Yes.
We all do. Some. It just, if we don't reach out for his life, we become
mm-hmm.
devoid of life with nothing.
Right.
So God has been here. He's met us, and he's plowed up that ground, and he's ready to sow something into your heart today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
To receive something new.
To receive something new.
Don't let your heart be hard like they were in Israel. Israel's an example of hard-heartedness. Don't be like that. Don't be hard-hearted to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't push him away.
Amen.
Don't say no to him.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm introducing my dear friends and just amazing supporters of us personally.
Thank you.
Me and Joe and Rabbi and I, our family, and this Messianic congregation. You may not know it, how much they support us, but in the spirit, they're always here with us.
Amen.
They're
Amen.
On our board of directors.
Amen.
And before that,
20
for 20 years, they've been on the For Zion's Sake Ministries board of directors. They've helped us build this ministry. They've prayed us through every situation, every disappointment, every hardship. And they've helped us and encouraged us. And even before that, when I was coming up in the Lord, they discipled me. And we had many Sunday
yes.
after services, tacos
yeah.
and Redskins.
Exactly. You got it.
Ed's favorite team is the Redskins.
Yay.
And he used to faithfully watch them
yes.
while Pastor Kathy and I discussed all the other things and enjoyed the afternoons together. So that was the beginning of our relationship. Oh, well, do we need to mention that? But hallelujah. So anyway, without further ado, I'm going to present to you Pastor Ed Bowers. And if you want to bring your lovely wife, Kathy, with you And I don't know if she's going to say anything, but they are here. And as I said, in their later, they've gone through many seasons of ministry. They've had a congregation, which I was a part of for a while. And then we were a part of as husband and a rabbi and I came back to Bristol and we became a part of it. And then they moved on and have been missionaries to India. And now they just globetrot wherever anybody asks them to come.
Amen.
Right?
Whether following him.
Some of the oddest and most exotic places. Some of them Mauritius. They've been to Sweden. They've been to Sri Lanka.
Bulgaria.
They've been Bulgaria. Did you say? Did you go to Greece recently?
No.
It was
Albania.
Albania.
Sicily.
No. Sicily.
Yeah,
there we
got
go.
Back.
Okay. Did you got back all right?
Yeah.
They didn't hold. They
I don't
didn't.
Know. Let's see.
I think we're here. I believe we're here. Are we
you
here?
Made it out of Sicily. You didn't meet the Godfather over there?
No.
About him, but the grandson of the Godfather.
Grand Poopa.
All right, I'm going to give it over to you, Pastor Ed.
Let my beloved say a few words.
I must say that we felt the safest in Sicily than any other country that we've been in. So that's God's grace.
Amen.
He always sends his angels before us. Amen. And keeps us and. It's good to be here.
Amen.
Be here with our children. And now we have children all over the world. So I almost think I'm the mother of Israel. Anyways, we have children everywhere.
Yeah,
you
that's right.
And our firstborn, yes.
Yeah.
It's so good to be with you. As we came in this morning, Anthony said, you're becoming regulars. Because we've moved very close.
That's right.
We're only right around the corner. But it is very good to be with you. And yes, the presence of God was so sweet.
Amen.
And still is in this place. He's not finished yet. So I know that Pastor has a very good word for us today. And I'm looking forward to hearing it. Love you all.
Bless you, sweetheart.
You got
this. Bless you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Whoops. Are we still on? Yeah. This is a good one. It doesn't break apart and then stop working. It just breaks apart.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Amen. I remember, Rabitz and Dawn, when we would... be your youth pastors. Now that was back when I had hair on my head, and yeah, we won't get into all that. But anyway, I remember that the taco thing came up because Dawn said she had some things she wanted to talk to us about, and so we had our first lunch with tacos. That kind of just got to be a thing. And then I remember too that your brother Scott, he got jealous. I know we're not supposed to get jealous, but, you know, he was young. And so he came to us and said, you know, I've got some things I need to talk to you about. And I figured, yeah, you just want in on the tacos and Redskins games. But, you know, and it was just so neat to remember those times and the good hot sauce that we found. They stopped making that brand. But, man, that stuff was good. It stayed with you all the way from your mouth till it came out other places. Anyway... Hallelujah. If you're not laughing yet, there's something wrong with you. There's a song that I heard. I don't even remember who the author was or the guy that was singing it. But he was talking, the song went along, "Let there be joy in the house of the Lord." If anybody's got a right to have joy, it's us. Amen.
Amen.
We know Yeshua. We have life in him. Everlasting life. Now, if you come and help mail out the newsletter, which I encourage you to do, then you'll get to have a party. But that party's going to have a time limit. Maybe it's Monday, it'll end. Maybe it carries over to Tuesday. But eventually that party's going to come to an end. But God's preparing a party for those who put their faith in Yeshua, and that party's never going to end.
Yes.
Amen. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to begin to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that went over big, didn't it? Yeah, I could not help. The presence of God was so sweet this morning. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God just comes and bowls you over, so to speak. And then other times, He just comes and surrounds you like a warm blanket or like warm honey dripping down off it. It was kind of a mixture of both of them this morning, Rabbi Joe. And as we were sitting there, and then when we finished worshiping the Lord and the service going into other things, I admit my mind wandered for a moment. And I began to think about all the Christian people who have gone to church probably all their lives and have never felt the presence of the Lord like we did this morning.
Amen. That's right.
Come on. What am I saying? Well, first of all, I'm saying if I knew the presence of God was going to show up in a barn, I'd want to go to the barn. Let alone that you can come to a nice building like this and be in the presence of other believers. Amen. But if I had to go fellowship with the cow and the donkey, I'd go do that if the presence of God was going to be there. And the other thing I'd say is this. You know, maybe you're in a church and you've been there for all your life or a long time, whatever. And I'm not trying to proselytize you. I'm simply asking you to give some consideration. Ask yourself the question, are you getting everything you need where you're attending? Are you getting the spiritual food and nourishment that you need where you're going? Are you feeling the presence of God like we felt it this morning? You see, God's a real God. He's alive. And His passion is towards His people. And together, everyone who will, to be a part of His people, a part of His family. Amen? And so, understanding that God wants you to experience Him just like we did today.
Amen.
Are you?
Yes, amen.
And if not, why not? Oh, well, you know, we don't do it that way at our church. Maybe you ought to change churches. Rabbi didn't tell me to say that. I just feel like that if you're going to serve God, go for the gold. Jesus said when He was giving instructions about the receiving of the communion, I can't pronounce the Hebrew pronunciation of that, but Yeshua made this statement. He handed them the cup and said, drink ye all of it. Don't just take a sip. Don't just get some of it. Take all I'm providing. One of the things that Yeshua provided for us through His death, burial, and resurrection is to be able to have intimacy with God. Fellowship with God, experience God on a new level. We ought to always be wanting to experience Him in a new dimension. And about the time you think you've got God figured out and that, you know, God's going to do it just like this, and you got your little box and you try to put God in it and say, now, God, I know this is how you do it. 2x4. God will always break out of your little box because He's bigger than your understanding. And He wants to take you away from your little box of religion and your little box of how you want it to be because you're comfortable there. He wants to take you into some things that may be a little uncomfortable in the beginning, but they become very comfortable and very enjoyable as you begin to continue to experience it. I remember the first time I got on a bicycle as a little boy. I fell off. I busted my knee. It was not a joyous experience, but I kept getting back on the bike. And eventually I got to the place where not only could I ride, but I enjoyed riding. I looked forward to riding. You know, I come to the house of the Lord because I enjoy His presence.
Amen.
And second reason is I enjoy fellowshipping with the people of God. I think there's just really something wrong with people who want to stay home and simply watch messages on TV when they're physically able to go to God's house, come to the congregation, and worship, but they don't. You need your brother and your sister. You need, we need one another.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, this is not my scripture, but this is just a side thought. But in the book of Ephesians and chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every member's got something to contribute. Every member's got something they need from another member. So we need one another. We need to be in fellowship with one another and enjoying one another. And sometimes that may mean enduring one another. I mean, there are no perfect Christians, only Christians who have been forgiven. But they're not perfect. Doesn't matter whether it's the doorkeeper, the person cleaning the toilet, the person who doesn't do anything in the church, but they've accepted Yeshua, or the rabbi. It doesn't matter. We're all people. We're all sheep. Sheep are sheep. And sheep, Rabbi, can I just be me today? Can I? Man, have your blessing. Okay. Sheep poop. Where the Psalms, David put it like this. I want to give it a scriptural foundation. Yes, the psalmist David said, talking about oxen, he said, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. Selah. But where there are oxen, there is potential for great work to be done. There is a great work to be done in the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have a lot of time left to be able to do that work. I heard what Rabbi Joe was talking about last Sunday, that he believed Jesus was coming back soon. I believe Yeshua is coming. That's not just some Bible doctrine that we, oh, yes, I believe Christ is going to return. I really believe he's coming. Do you?
Yes.
Well, then that behooves us to be ready when he comes. I don't just mean that we know our sins are forgiven. I mean that we've done what he called us to do. We fulfilled his mandates in our life. Now, there are personal mandates. Not everybody's called to be a missionary to India and the nations, as Kathy and I are. But we're all called to do something, function in the body, in the place where Father God has ordained for us to be, and cause the Holy Spirit to place us. Because when we're together, there is great power released. You see, there's what we call a corporate anointing. When one can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says two can put 10,000 to flight. Okay, so the spiritual principle is when you get one person and they're worshiping God, there's an anointing. But when you get more than that together, there is a corporate anointing that kicks in and magnifies the power many, many times over.
Yes.
Amen. That puts the enemies of Satan, his cohorts, his demonic forces, puts them into flight.
Yes.
And that's all we need, because when they're gone, it clears the way for us to be able to minister effectively to people. And that's why I want to talk to you today about the importance of unity. The importance of unity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and then verse 11. Now, before I read that, I want to make a reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul's addressing the church, the congregation at Corinth, about incestual relationship between a man and his father's wife. They had gotten together. He began to be intimate with his father's mother. It was an abomination to God. And yet the people in the church, Christians there at Corinth, were not disturbed by it. They were just kind of turning their eyes away from it or ignoring it or saying, well, you know, it'll be all right. God doesn't want us to have a passivity when it comes to sin. Can you say amen? And so through admonishment and speaking the word and a lot of prayer and agony, the Apostle Paul got the church at Corinth where they were finally ready to deal with the issue. And they did what Paul admonished them to. They turned him over to Satan, even though it may cause his flesh to be destroyed. He might lose his life in the process, so that his spirit man would be saved in the day of judgment. And then time passed by, and the man being removed from the fellowship of the believers, and I believe in that. It's not a pleasant thing. It's not something you just do haphazardly or with indifference, but it has a medicinal effect in the realm of the spirit to cause people to realize, boy, I've missed it. You know, I don't have my brother, my sister to uphold me anymore. I don't get to fellowship with anybody. And that it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to do a work in their life and cause them to realize they've missed the mark. That's what sin is missing the mark. And to repent and to come back and get in right fellowship with God and with the congregation. So what happened then was this man repented and made things right and got his life straightened out with the help of the Lord and godly counsel. But there were people in the church, the congregation there at Corinth, that were not willing to embrace this fallen brother who was now restored. They were treating him as though he was still a fallen brother. Or at the best, some were treating him like he was, yeah, restored, but he was lesser some way than the rest of them, as if they had never sinned. We have a marvelous way of how we want to treat others and then how we want God to treat us, and they're different. Different degree of judgment sometimes. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 and verse 11, Paul says, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. He's talking about this man who had the incestual relationship with his mother, with his father's wife. Not sure she was necessarily his mother. But anyway, he says, sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, which means by implication, Paul's saying, you've not really forgiven him. You've not really been comforting him to let him know that you accept what the blood of Jesus Christ did in his life. The blood of Jesus, because he repented in sincere repentance, had cleansed him of his sin. Now Paul's saying, now you better accept the finished work of the cross that's happened in this man's life, because that same work has happened in yours and may need to happen again at some point. Amen. So on the contrary, you ought, this is verse 7 again, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one will be swallowed up with too much sorrow. In other words, what Paul's really talking about was there was a disunity in the church at Corinth, the congregation at Corinth, because they weren't releasing forgiveness. They weren't releasing love, which means they were still holding the man's sin against them, even though Yeshua had forgiven them. Abba, Father, had forgiven them. The Holy Spirit had restored him, but they didn't want to recognize the work of God, because sometimes in the congregation, in the body of Yeshua, we've got this thing where we swing like a pendulum on a clock from one extreme to the other. First of all, they didn't want to deal with the issue at all. And then they got super harsh with it, and they allowed the pendulum to get stuck in the position of unforgiveness. Sometimes, I believe, we let our spiritual pendulums get stuck in that arena of unforgiveness, which causes disunity. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, in this verse 11, the Apostle Paul brings out some things that I think we need to understand in dealing with offense or lack of unity in the church. First of all, he says, lest Satan. He's putting his finger on the real problem. Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this fallen brother who's now been restored, he is not the problem. He wasn't the problem, and he's not the problem. Now, the problem was Satan. This man allowed Satan to work in his life, and it caused him to sin. Then I think Paul, by inference, is saying, and now you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You're allowing Satan to take control of your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings. And now God is not pleased with you any more than God was pleased with that fallen brother. Selah. Okay, so first of all, he said Satan's the problem. You see, Jesus said it's the thief, talking about Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. So let us not fall into the trap of fighting flesh and blood, because according to Paul in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, we're not wrestling or fighting against or warring against flesh and blood. Now, unfortunately, there aren't any people sitting close together today, or not many. Well, Rabbi Joe and Rabbi Dawn sitting close together, but and a few others. But, you know, if you just look around at somebody, just kind of wave at them and say, "You're not my problem." Why don't you do that? Just turn around, look at somebody and say, "You're not my problem." Wow. Did you mean that? Were you speaking about revelation that man's not your problem, flesh and blood's not your problem? Satan is the one who is the ultimate problem. And if you just keep dealing with fruit and never deal with the root, it'll keep coming back again. But if you kill the root, that thing will never bear any more bad fruit. So if you want to get rid of the fruit, kill the root. Attack the root. Let's don't attack the fruit. Let's attack the real root, which is Satan. Thank you. Amen. So, and then Paul goes on to say, lest Satan should take advantage. That tells us that Satan's goal is to take advantage. He wants to get an advantage over the church. And the only way he can get an advantage over the church is if the church doesn't walk in unity. And we don't follow what the Word of God says. We don't apply the Word of God to our life. We spend all of our time worrying about whether there's somebody else, another brother or sister. Are they applying the Word of God? Well, let's narrow our focus back down for a moment and begin to consider ourselves. Are we applying the Word of God to our life? So Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices, and we'll get there in a moment. But Satan wants to get an advantage. And what's really interesting is that based on what Jesus told us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, who had just confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, Messiah, Yeshua, and Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, Lord Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And can't you imagine that Peter's kind of, shine my halo up. I got that one right. You know, Peter was kind of known for blowing it sometimes, but I got that one. Did you guys hear that? You other 11, listen, I'm walking in revelation knowledge. I've got divine understanding. God is giving me revelation about Yeshua. Aren't I great? And then Jesus went on to say, and I say, you're Peter. You're a little rock. You're a little rock. But on you, little rock, I'm going to build my church. On your ability to understand who I am and what I'm doing and what I'm going to do, I'm going to build my church on you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. The church was birthed to be winners. We were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be winners. We were given the Word of God to instruct us in how to be winners. Amen. And if the church is suffering defeat, it's because we're not staying up and walking in wisdom and knowledge of Satan's devices. You see, understanding, knowledge will protect us. Unity, a part of that knowledge, will protect us. But ignorance is not bliss. I don't know who coined that phrase, ignorance is bliss, but they certainly weren't talking about what we're talking about today. When Satan defeats you, there's no bliss in it. When Satan defeats you, there's no joy in it. There's no peace in it. There's no lasting happiness in it. Oh, yes, Moses understood that there were pleasures in sin for a season. But he rejected the temporary that he might embrace the lasting and the permanent. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So we need to have knowledge. We need to fight Satan with knowledge, not in ignorance. If we fight him in knowledge and in understanding, and we properly apply that knowledge and understanding, we will maintain the advantage over him. We were positioned to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Now that being the case, if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, we are in the advantage. How many of you would agree with that? And the only way we can lose that advantage is if we allow ourselves to be dethroned from our proper position in Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, when we're operating in unity, we're protected. You ought to write this down. When we are operating in unity, we're protected. When we operate in division or disunity, we become destructive and we become to experience destruction. Satan's able to bring destruction into the camp of the Lord, which is not God's will. Now, I realize this is not one of those messages that you'd want to preach at camp meeting, because most people won't shout over this. I don't want you really to shout about it today, but if you follow it, it'll put a shout in you in other days ahead. Amen? Amen. Yes. Offense is equal to unforgiveness. It means I've got something against you and I've not let go of it. I'm still holding on to you, onto it about what you did, what I didn't like. You'd just be surprised at the things that the congregation of God gets upset about and gets into division and offense about. I know churches, congregations that have gotten offended at one another because one wanted purple carpet in the church and another group in the church wanted blue carpet. And so they just, you know, divided and factioned and fought and were offended at one another. And yet they'd come into the same building, into the same house of God, wanting to worship the same Lord Jesus Christ and the same Heavenly Father and invite the same Holy Spirit to come into their midst. And the truth of the matter is the triune Godhead is not interested in coming around where there's division and strife.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen. He's just not. In Mark 11, verse 25, Yeshua said this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, for that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Another place, Yeshua said that if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. I don't know about you, but I want God's forgiveness in my life. And I'll go further to say there are many occasions when I need his forgiveness. More than I want. I'm working to get that list shortened also. I don't want to have to go to God every day. Oh, God, I'd blew it again. Forgive me. I want to grow. I want to get beyond some things so that I'm able to fellowship more freely with the Lord. And for that to happen, I've got to be in real fellowship with my brother and my sister. Because John taught us in his first epistle, he said, how can you say you're loving God? How do you say you love God, whom you've never really seen, and yet say you've got offense against your brother, whom you have seen? He said, hey, you're mixed up. Except John put it a little more bold and blunt than that. He said, you're lying. You're lying. The truth's not in you. That's not the way it works. You don't love God and hate man. You don't love man, hey God, you got to love them both. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you're in unforgiveness, the way out of unforgiveness is how? How do you get out of unforgiveness?
Forgive,
exactly. You forgive. You let go of that stinking thing. Don't carry it around like a dead bone that's got begin to break up crumble and it's germy and slimy and you drag it around letting everybody smell of it. Nobody wants to smell your foul smells. We've got a little puppy named Benji, and we love Benji, but Betty, sometimes he's got raunchy breath. He really. I mean, he gets halitosis in the worst way. There are some Christians who got spiritual halitosis. Your breath stinks because it's not the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I better move on, Rabbi Joe. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 14, well, let me preface before we get to Romans. Let me preface. You know, I've been in the ministry for 50 plus years. I started young. I started when I was 17 in the ministry. Pastored my first church when I was 21. When I was 19, I was on a weekly radio broadcast and was for several years. And then Kathy and I got married, and we've pastored and been in all these different places. And, you know, one thing we found out about humans, humans are the same no matter where you go. I mean, they may look different. They may eat different food, wear different clothes, have different customs. But if you get down to the traits, they're pretty much all the same. And the devil is the same. He may manifest in different ways. I mean, you know, we saw demons manifest through people, and they'd get rigid and they'd scream and convulse. And I'm sure probably none of you have had that. That doesn't mean there's not a demonic spirit working in your life. It just means he's operating in a different way, manifesting in a different way. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that good amen. So in that 50 years plus watching in ministry, one of the things that I've observed is that there are three main reasons why people get into disunity. Three main purposes. I'm not saying it's the only ones, but I think these are the three top ones. First is they get into disunity over offense, which we've already kind of talked about. People get offended. Somebody does something they don't like and they're offended by it. And let me just say, you know, you got to realize that when it comes down to offense and it comes down to division, that there's can be two types. There's the type that, how shall we say this? There's a type that, you know, okay, the carpet example. Does it really matter whether the carpet's blue or burgundy? Anybody? You think it does? Does it really matter? I mean, in the big scheme of things, does it matter?
No.
Is that a reason to break fellowship with one another?
No.
Now, if the pastor or the rabbi gets up and says, I don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friend, let me give you a clue. Hit the door running. Because that's fundamental. That's basic, rock-solid foundation upon which our faith for salvation, deliverance, and all the blessings of God is based. Those are two different things. Now, if I, you know, I'll get offended if somebody says, I don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. And we had there was a pastor who came to Abingdon to a church. I won't give the name of the church. But he told the pulpit committee, whatever they're supposed to be, that some one of the members asked, said, do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? He said, no, I really don't. Thank God the man who asked had the wisdom. He took his family and he left. If you happen to be visiting or you're watching and you're in a church and your pastor doesn't believe or your rabbi doesn't believe the Bible's the Word of God, run! That's dangerous. Amen. What are the foundations? There's none other foundation than the Word of God for those of us who put our faith and trust in Yeshua. Nothing. Amen. Nothing else. Amen. And then the second one is people who want to take over. They think they know more than the rabbi or the pastor, whatever, wherever you're at. They think they know better than whoever maybe the covering people may be. You know, Kathy and I, we've got coverings. Our covering's in Clemens, North Carolina. And we've got a church that's our covering. And being on the board, we're acting kind of like a covering for Rabbi Joe and Dawn. And they're good people. We love covering them. We enjoy covering them. Well, I don't know about Rabbi Joe. Well, yeah. Just teasing, Rabbi, just teasing. You know, it just helps people to laugh once in a while.
Okay.
Oh, boy. What happened to that nice steakhouse you were taking? Me and my big mouth. But anyway, they think they know better. They think they know how it ought to be done, and so they want to take over. You know, they want, even if they don't ever really say they don't want to be the rabbi or the pastor, but what they want to control the rabbi or the pastor, which that's paramount to the same thing. You become a shadow pastor or rabbi. You're not in the forefront. You don't have the title, but you're the one pulling the strings.
How do you spot those kind of
You look for the strings. What are they wanting you to give you in exchange for what they will give to you? You know, what do they want you to give them that they will, and they'll give you something else in exchange? Because that's generally the way it works. They're trying to buy your friendship. They really want to buy your authority. But thank God there's some things that are just not for sale. And the anointing and the calling of God to whatever it may be, including being a pastor or rabbi, it's not for sale. I remember when Naboth in the Old Testament had a field that Ahab wanted, and he went to Naboth and said, "I want to buy your field, and I'll give you the best price on the market." And Naboth said, "Not for sale, not for sale. The anointing is not for sale. The gifts and callings of God are not for sale. They're not yours to sell, and you can't buy them. Yeshua bought them." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the third thing is, and we've already talked about it, is doctrinal. Doctrinal. If somebody begins to teach false doctrine, I mean serious false doctrine. Now, there's some churches, for example, that believe you have to be baptized in order to be saved, and other churches that don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved. To me, the important thing is, do you have your faith in Yeshua? If you have your faith in Yeshua, you're going to want to obey His instructions anyway. But if you come and receive Yeshua today and drop dead before you have a chance to get in the water, I don't believe you're going to go to hell. I believe you're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. So you've got offense. You've got those who want to have a power struggle, and they want to grab the power because they think their way and their ideas are better than the one that's there in leadership. You know what? It's amazing to me. We say that we believe that one of the attributes of God is that He's omniscient, which means He knows everything. God knows everything. I know some things, Rabbi. I know some things. I'm sure you know some things. God knows everything. So if God knows everything, why didn't He put the person who thinks their idea is better than the leaders? Why didn't God put them in charge if their idea really was better? Why didn't He put this inferior person? Why didn't He put that brilliant person sitting out in the congregation who's just so antsy to take over? You say, did that ever really happen? Well, yeah. In 3 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, John's writing and he says, "I wrote into the church." Here's the apostle of God. Here's the man that they tried to kill so many times. They burned him, boiled him in oil. They tried to burn him. Couldn't kill him. Couldn't kill him. You know, if you did that to somebody, wouldn't you begin to think, I think God's on his side. I think this guy's got some connection with a higher power. I mean, you don't even have to have a rocket scientist degree to figure that one out, do you? It says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not." How about that? Rejected the anointing and the call of God on the Apostle Paul because he wanted to beat a big cheese. That's not maybe the best English to use, but you get my point. And then it goes on to say, John says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren." John had given recommendation and sent these brothers to go to the congregation and minister the word. And Diotrephes said, "Hold on, they don't pass my test." And there's no indication that we have, definitely not from the Bible, nor from Christian church history, that Diotrephes was a pastor or really any kind of a authorized leader in the church. He just was leading by his own decision. And says, not content with the, neither he nor he does he allow others to receive the brethren, but forbids them. And those who would, he cast out of the church. People who were willing to receive these brothers said, "Hey, we just disfellowship with you. We'll just kick you out." Sounds like he had a power grab mentality. Yes. He had a thirst to be in control. Why can't we believe that this all-knowing God, this all-wise God, this God who knows everything, who's never, not only sinned, never made a mistake. Never made one mistake. You can't say that. You might even try to convince me that you've never sinned, but you'll never get me to believe you've never committed a mistake. Why can't we believe that that God has put us where he wants us in the body? Amen. Just turn with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. I want you to listen to this verse and let it resonate in your spirit in regards to what we're talking about. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him. You're where you're at because God was pleased to put you there. And if you'll be faithful where God puts you, God will be pleased to promote you. Promotion in the kingdom of God comes through faithfulness to where you're at right now. You see, there are a lot of people don't want to pick a piece of paper up off the floor, but they want to manage the church. They don't want to deal with the sheep droppings. So when we were pastoring, we called them sheep droppings. You know, people litter things. And then we'd pick it up. You know, no big deal to us to pick it up. I enjoyed it. I wanted to see the place clean. I didn't care who did it. But there's some people, no, I can't do that. I've got an anointing. There's an anointing to do whatever your hand findeth, to do it with all of your might. Amen. Moving right along. Well, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14, verses 14 and 15, I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably or in love. In other words, your love walk's messed up. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. It goes back to this thing that now I'm talking about offenses. You know, people get offended. You do something and they don't like it. And maybe you're flaunting it in front of them. I can do this. Look what I do. Well, you know, first of all, is what you're doing and the way you're doing it, is it going to edify your brothers and sisters or is it going to destroy them? Now let's go back and connect to what I started off with in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. They've got something you need. Look at somebody and say, you've got something I need. Amen. Rabbi Joe, that steak's going to taste awful good after a while. No, a little humor. They've got something you need. So if I destroy the one who's got something I need, I just destroyed God's channel for meeting that need in my life. Selah. Amen. Come on. That's true. This shines a whole other light and perspective on this thing of how we treat one another, about not allowing offenses to get in the way and separate us from having unity with one another. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah! I used to think that's what preaching was years ago, but thank God those days. My wonderful wife has helped me so much, and she's still working on me. And God's still working on me. And God's still working on you. Aren't you glad he's patient? He's got the blueprint for your life. And he never says, oh, well, that's what they want to do. That's the way you let them be that way. No, God keeps trying to pull us back to his plan. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New International Version says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And it all starts with you learning to be content where he's placed you in Yeshua's body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, a lot of this really has to do with us understanding that if we bite and devour one another, we need to be careful because we'll be consumed one for another. That's what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 says. I'm going to read it again. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed of one another. Did I just consume the one who had an assignment from God to produce something for my life, and in so doing cut my nose off to spite my face? Or even worse, to spite the face of Jesus? See, the Bible makes it very plain in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 23, that we're the body of Christ. Paul says, you're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Another place Paul says, you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. The only Jesus this world's going to see, or that our brothers and sisters are going to see, is the one we portray. Amen? So do they see a Jesus with his nose cut off because we had an offense against another member of the body? Did they see a maimed Jesus? Did they see a crippled Jesus? Is the world looking at a crippled congregation, a crippled church, because we allow things that we don't like to trip us up? Instead of having the perspective, well, yeah, I don't really think that's the right thing they're doing, but I need to pray for them. I need to love them. I need to encourage them. I need to be able to speak the truth in love. And buddy, that's where a lot of us miss it. We're ready to speak the truth. We got all the scriptures, and the Bible says we mow them down with the word of God, but there's no love in it. That's the key. You see, love is a bond of perfectness. God is love. Yeshua is love. We as his body, we're to be loved. Amen. You know, it's kind of like when you allow division, disunity, unforgiveness become an offense. It's like a rogue cell. A rogue cell is the beginning of how cancer forms in your body. See, you got all these millions of cells in your body. And they're all just working fine together. Each one got their assignment, and they're doing what they need to do to supply something for the other one. And the whole body is just doing great. And then all of a sudden, according to what scientists say, they're not sure what causes it, but something impacts this one cell, and it becomes a rogue cell. It no longer is content to be a source of supply to another cell or another organ in the body. Now it wants to gobble up. It starts eating its own self, really, because it's in the same body. And then in doing that, cancer develops. And that's how cancer works. And then that one cell begins to multiply. There must be some communication going on. One cell doesn't just multiply. It first has to have some interaction. Something inside enters into it that stimulates it to not only do what it's doing, but get somebody to be like it and help it. Amen? Hallelujah. Pardon me, I get kind of stirred up about this, but you know, we just got through taking the memorial meal, we call it, of Yeshua, his blood and his body. When we do that, I'm sure every one of us who receive that, we do that with reverence and with respect. And in our mind, we're thinking about the suffering that he endured, the pain that he... How that he not only endured pain, he took our sin upon him. He who knew no sin became sin so we could become like him, the righteousness of God. He took our emotional warpness. He took our poverty. He took our sickness and disease. He took our turmoil. He took all of it and bore it for us so we would not have it. And we're reminiscing and we're thinking about all that as we're getting ready to partake of the bread and the cup. And just, oh, Lord, I so appreciate that you would do that. And yet we would turn around and hurt a part of the one, the brother or the sister, who was saved just like we are and are in the same body of Yeshua like we are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you aside, cleanse you, anoint you, put you aside for his purposes completely, totally. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word soul there is talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. And Satan loves to use unsanctified emotions to cause flare-ups and cause offenses and to cause destruction in the body of Yeshua. It's a fact. Congregation, it's a fact. And it's not just in Bristol or Virginia. You can travel to the farthest parts of the earth and see the same thing happening. Why? Because Satan knows this is a good plan. It works. It's been working for generations. It's still working. At some point, the body of Yeshua needs to let the light shine in, and we need to say like Paul, hey, I'm not going to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I know what he wants to, and I'm not going to let him have me or my brother or my sister. Amen. Goes back to that thing that Cain asked God when God confronted him about Abel, said, where's your brother? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep up with him? Oh, yes, you are. Listen to this. Philippians 2:4. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of what is your own interest. In other words, I'm supposed to put your interest in front of my interest. Now, I understand, and you should understand, I think we all do, but I'm just going to put it in just in case, Pastor, just in case, Rabbi. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have a greater interest in you than I'm going to have in my wife. Come on, you follow what I'm saying? I'm not going to abandon taking care of my wife to say, wonder what brother or sister so-and-so need. I'm going to take care of my wife because I got a special covenant with her. And that covenant says, I'm going to take care of her first. I'm going to open the door for her when she gets in the car, comes to a building, because that's a part of me caring for her. And if I'm fast enough, I'll get around and try to open the door for you. But if I'm not, I'm sure going to open it for her. If I can get her to slow down a little bit and wait on me. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, this is Paul again. Boy, Paul had some great revelation. He wrote some good stuff, amen? Ephesians 4, 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But to each one of you, his grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produced unity when you were born again. You were born again to be a creature of unity. Just like your Father is a God of unity. Three manifestations of the same God, and they're all in unity. They're always in agreement. Wouldn't you wonder what we could do as the body of Yeshua if we'd all get in agreement? Have you ever thought about how quickly we could reach the world? If we begin to care about others more than we cared about ourselves, if there was a problem and somebody was kind of miffed and they were going to really get, ticked off and backslide and, go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, if I kept, drinking Pepsi. I'm not going to say, hey, look here, Joe, pop, I'm getting me another swig. No, if I'm going to drink Pepsi, I'm going to make sure Joe's not this Joe. I'm going to make sure that Paul or whoever, they're not around. Why? Because I don't want to offend them. I want to protect them. And if it means that I have to give up pop of any flavor the rest of my life and never have another one, I may go through DTs, but I'm going to do it. DTs, detoxification. Last verse, last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient. Doesn't expect people to be perfect overnight. Love doesn't really expect people to be perfect anytime, because none of us are. And kind, which means in the midst of your imperfections, I'm going to treat you with kindness. And please, when you see my imperfections, and if you stay around me long, you'll see them. And if you don't, just talk to my wife. She can tell you all about a bunch of them. But please still treat me with kindness. Amen? Come on. This is my last verse. We're heading down the finish line. Love doesn't is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not trying to say, hey, look at me. I'd be the one for the job. Ah, I got better. I know more than so-and-so. It does not insist on its own way. Uh-oh. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, there's some Christians, some believers in Yeshua, they just need to change their diet. They just need to change their diet. You know, I know that you can lose a few pounds if you just change your diet. I know you're thinking, Pastor Ed, I believe you could get on that diet. Now, amen, amen. But I'm talking about a spiritual diet. Don't be on that diet and having that menu in front of you of look at being fault-finding and looking for something you can be critical about and always wanting to hear the latest gossip about somebody. Get happy about truth. No matter what you may see in that brother, that sister, the Bible still says they're a new creation in Christ. Now, the fruit you're seeing may not be perfect, but it's still going to have traits of the fruit of the Spirit. You see, just when you come on an apple tree and you see that little green apple beginning, it's bitter as it can be, it's hard as a rock, but it's still an apple, the fruit of an apple tree, and given time, it'll develop into a beautiful, shiny redwood that you'll enjoy eating or putting in some salad. That's true for us, isn't it? I need you to be patient with me while some of the fruits of the Spirit that have not completely matured get there. And while we're at it, pray for me that they do. Don't bag on me. Don't go out and say, oh, you know that preacher Ed Bowers, you would not believe, boy, he's got some sour fruit in his life. Yeah, probably. I've got some undeveloped fruit. Maybe you do too. Going on. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How's your ability to endure? My wife has a great ability to endure. We've been married over 30 years, and she's still enduring with me, and I thank you for it, honey. Amen. Amen. Rabbi, that's what God gave me to say. This is not the first time this message was preached. The first time it was ministered was yesterday on my radio broadcast. It's heard all over the world. And before I ever preached it on the radio and recorded it, the Holy Spirit quickened in my heart. Kiki just kept nudging me. You need to minister this at Yehuda. But I had no confirmation of them myself. And sometimes you can have feelings, but they're just yours, you know? And so when we got through with the broadcast, I said, well, honey, was it okay if we taped it? Was it all right? She said, it was wonderful. She said, I really believe you're supposed to preach that tomorrow. So if you didn't enjoy it, blame her. It's her fault. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. Just stand up. And then I'm going to turn it back over to Rabbi. Father, I thank you for your word because it searches us. And it reveals your order to us. When in the beginning of creation, when you said, let there be light, and you said, let the herb-bearing trees come forth, and so forth, everything you spoke, not only did it create what you said, but it began to function the way you said for it to function. It followed the plan that was not only coming out of your mouth, but it established the order of God for that particular thing. Lord, your word does the same thing in our life as we submit ourselves to it, as we listen to it, as we receive the impartation of you, our God, through your word into our life. It'll establish your order where maybe there are things that are out of order. I ask you, Lord, today if there's things out of order in any of our lives. Lord, number one, reveal it to us. Help us to repent of it sincerely. Go to anybody we need to go to who we may have offended or been an offense to or that we've been offended with. And in love, let us be reconciled to one another. So, Father, we can be reconciled to you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Amen. Good message, Pastor Ed. Thank you so much. And, it reminds me of a message I wrote years ago, a newsletter I did called I Was Angry, I Was Offended, But I Stayed. I was angry, I was offended, but I stayed. So many people in the body of Messiah, they get angry, they get offended, and they're out the door. And you know, when God's called you somewhere, I would venture to say, never wants you to quit because of anger or hurt feelings. Amen. When you leave, he wants you to leave with victory. Amen. When you leave, if you're going to leave a place, he wants you to leave with blessing. When you leave, he wants you to leave with the blessing of the leaders, with laying of hands, with the sending out, with prayer, amen? And with the affirmation that, yes, you've talked it over with your leaders. That's how I do it when I've gone anywhere. When I came to here, we came to you, and we talked and prayed before we came and came under your covering here in this area. That's where we got our start. You know, we came and we got that confirmation, and you received us, because we didn't have anything. We didn't have a place to worship, nothing. But they welcomed us into their church and gave us use of the facility and the fax machine, and the people helped us with our newsletter and so forth. Amen. So, but there's other times I've seen people get angry, they get offended, and they're out the door. And you know what happens? It's just like in the children of Israel, like Moses, they go around the mountain. Around and around and around and around they go. When they stop, nobody knows. Amen? And that there's we shouldn't have doors that push open in and out. They should just be circular doors, the kind in the hotels that go around and around. Because that's the way it is in the church. And in the Messianic community, people just going in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, through those doors. And they don't do it God's way most of the time. Would you agree with that, Pastor? Most of the time. I hear this, I'm not just saying this for myself. I hear this from every pastor and every rabbi I talk to. You know, people come in, and they come in, they go out, they come and go. And you know, there's in Judaism, there's a scripture in Lamentations that talks about as a driven leaf, and it's a scripture in Lamentations about as a driven leaf that you know the people were like a driven leaf just blown about in the wind, and in Judaism that expression as a driven leaf has come to represent the Jewish people that we've been scattered among the world, around the world, like a driven leaf blown around, but God calls us to be oaks of righteousness planted by streams of water. Amen. He calls us to be oaks of righteousness. Is that Psalm 1? Oaks of righteousness planted by streams of water. And an oak tree is a sturdy tree. It's very, you know, the Pemberton oak. There's just another old 300-year-old oak tree that just fell recently near here. 300 years, 300-400 years old. That's a long time. I mean, I could make a joke, but I won't. All right, let's close. But pastors, thank you for coming. Let's take a little offering for them, and or let's take a nice offering for them. Let's take a look.